Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, good afternoon. Another edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're glad you're with us, whatever Super Talk station you're tuned into this afternoon. Or if you're online, welcome to the show. We've got lots to talk about in the next hour. Former football star Shelton Gandy will be joining us later in the program. He was named the new head football coach at Meridian High School just last week. We'll be talking to him about that. And we have got a studio full of softball players. We've got Carolyn Worrell, Maria Smith, Hannah Borden, and their coach, Natalie Poole, all here in the Super Talk studios. And we're going to be talking softball here in just a moment. But let me remind you, first of all, we're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio in Hattiesburg. And the opening segment of every Super Talk Eagle Hour is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue, a great place to cater your next athletic event. A great place to take your family for dinner anytime you like. We appreciate all that they do for us at Dickey's. Okay, like I say, studio full of softball players. Let's start with Carolyn Worrell, an outfielder from Milton, Florida, and welcome to the Eagle Hour.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're glad you're here, too. So tell us a little bit about yourself. You're an outfielder, and how do you make your way from Milton, Florida to Hattiesburg, Mississippi?
Yes, sir. So it's actually my fifth year. I graduated in May of 2023 with my business degree, and I got recruited, my end of my sophomore or my junior year of high school. I got seen by Coach Hogue, actually. She came to a bunch of tournaments because I had another girl on my travel ball team that was committed here. So I fell in love with the campus really quick after I toured here, and that's how I ended up here.
Yeah, and Coach Hogue, really nice lady.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, Hannah Borden is a catcher from Trussfield, Alabama. And welcome to the show.
Hi, happy to be here.
Well, I hear catchers are about the most important player on the team. I'm sure you would agree with that.
Well, that's what they say.
Yeah. The baseball catchers tell me that the catchers are also the smartest people on the team.
I agree with that. 100%.
Yeah. The most important, the best, and the smartest. Mm-hmm. Other than that, not much of a role, right?
Mm-mm. You got to be, I guess. See the whole field. You got to make a lot of decisions. So.
Yeah, no question. So you're here from Alabama, and you guys are just, the 9th of February. You go to Jacksonville for your opening games. What's the vibe on the team?
Yeah, so I'm really excited, actually, about this season. It's my last season. Caroline and I are the 2 fifth-year seniors this year, so it's our last year. And I'm just excited to go out with a bang and have a really good year.
How do you think this team shapes up, say, compared to the previous teams you've played on?
I mean, compared to the last few years, we have better numbers for sure. Last year, I think we only had 17 during the season, and this year we have – I think 24, 25. So we definitely have a lot better numbers. We have the ability to scrimmage more at practice and, you know, have more live situations. Our pitching numbers have gone up. And overall, I just think the team looks good, and I'm excited for it.
All right. Maria Smith is they tell me you're a utility player. You're from Edwardsville, Illinois?
Yes, sir.
The guy sitting right over there in that office is from Illinois, too. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Are you a Bears fan?
I'm not embarrassed of Illinois.
No, you're a Bears fan.
No, I'm not. I'm an Eagles fan. Woohoo! But we lost.
Philadelphia so. Eagles?
Yes, I love Jalen
Hurts. How does a girl from Illinois become a Philadelphia Eagle fan?
Because I love Jalen Hurts. But I love T. Higgins more. So if he hears this.
Well, as a they don't exist anymore, but as a lifelong Redskin fan, I'll have to tell you we hate the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm so sorry.
All right, you've come a long way to get here. How'd you end up here?
Yes, sir. I ended up here because I'm the only girl in between two brothers, so I needed some space. No, I was just kidding. I don't know. It was my going into my senior year, and I wasn't on like a very good travel team that traveled a lot. My parents weren't really into the softball world. They both played basketball, and both my brothers played basketball, so they thought it was more of like a later recruiting, which now it is for softball, but it used to not be. And I got on a different travel team, and then Coach Van found me and just was like, hey, I want you to come down here with me. I'm about to go down here. And I was like, all right, cool, let's do it. I don't really like the cold up there.
Yeah,
it's like 17 degrees.
Right. What was the adjustment like for you? What is life for you like here in the southern part of Mississippi?
There's definitely better food. I like the food a lot better.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, and the people are the southern hospitality, is that what it's called, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice. And I've picked up some of the slang, not by choice, but I definitely throw a y'all in.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. So when you go back home, do they say, you've developed a southern accent?
My first 2 years, my mom, she complained about it a little, but it's not really that much different. It's very polite down here. So
years and years ago, I was involved with a softball team that was playing in the USSSA World Tournament. And those kids were from Mississippi that we had, and we were playing a team from northern Kentucky. And what struck me was when you're listening to our players, it's, come on, y'all, come on, y'all. And the team from Kentucky, it was, come on, you guys, come on, you guys.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard that before, you guys?
Yes, that's what we say.
Now, your team doesn't do that here, right?
No, we don't.
Y'all are more of a y'all team.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right, Carolyn. Caroline, you're from Milton, so you're used to y'all.
Yes, sir.
It didn't faze you a bit, huh?
Not at all.
All right, I want you to give me your perspective of this year's team. What do you think fans need to look for?
I think we're going to be able to see like a lot of fun on the field this year. I mean, we had a lot of fun last year, but I think this group really like mends well together.
Mm-hmm. That's important, isn't it? I mean, having fun. Isn't that the reason you're here playing softball?
Yes, sir.
You think people lose perspective of that sometimes?
I think so. I think we get caught up in what other people think and like try to make it, I don't know, too competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it is competitive, but it's like you're going against somebody instead of playing with them.
Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be a business. Am I correct about that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So you tell me, young lady, your thoughts about the team, and your coach is standing right over here. So this is her second year. From everything I've heard from you guys and other softball players that we've talked to, you really like playing for this lady here.
Mm-hmm.
What is it she brings to the talks to the team that makes playing softball fun?
Yeah, so Coach Bull is, you know, she's a very understanding and very respectful person in general off the field and on the field. You know, the person you meet off the field, I tell players at camps and people that come on visits, I tell them this every time. I say, you know, the person you're talking to right now, she's going to be exactly like that when you get here. It's not going to be any major change. Because, you know, you hear a lot of people say, you know, the coach acted so different before I got to college. And then when I got there, it was way worse, but that's not the case here. She's authentic, and she treats us with respect, and we treat her with respect. So, it's good.
So you're a fifth year player on the team. You're going to be one of the young ladies that everybody leans on for leadership.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Is that exciting to you? Something you like?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a little bit of pressure as well, but I mean, it's nothing that scares me either. The three of us have kind of taken over that role on the team of, you know, scheduling things, sending reminders out to the team, you know, reminding them of what needs to be done, things to do. So we're kind of used to it. Caroline and I were seniors last year as well, so we kind of this isn't our first go around, so we've kind of gotten used to that, and it's a privilege to be able to do that for everyone.
Is that because of COVID you got an extra year?
Yes, sir. COVID? Our freshman year was COVID.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't really play much that year, right?
No, we got sent home, I think, mid-March.
It was March 12th.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But March 12th, so we, I think we were on our way to our first conference series, so we didn't play a conference game my freshman year, which was in Conference USA, but, so yeah. We
hugely disappointing, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was.
I'm sure. About a minute left. Maria, your thoughts about the Sun Belt. I'm interested to hear your perspective of the level of competitiveness in the Sun Belt Conference.
Coming into the Sun Belt last year, who else joined us?
Marshall.
Marshall joined us, and Marshall is a top team in Conference USA. And it's definitely, like, every team is very competitive, and so was the Conference USA. Everybody was competitive as well, but it's, like, the level of intensity, you know. So the Sun Belt sends, like, three teams to the World Series, like, what is it?
The regionals,
yeah. Like, every year. So, you know, we knew what we were getting into, like, going into it, and it was very exciting for, like, a lot of us on the team. Like, it wasn't anything scary. It was just, like, you know, time to, like, step up, you know. So,
yeah, yeah. That's music saying we're running out of time. You finish your thought. You go right ahead. Finish your thought.
But, yeah. Yeah, the Sun Belt is different in that aspect, but it's something that, like, our team is hungry for and always has been, so it's something very cool.
All right, Coach Natalie Poole's in the studio with us as well. Thank you, ladies, very much.
Thank you.
We're going to hear from Coach Poole next. Stay with us. Super Talk Eagle Hour right after this break.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, we want to thank Carolyn Burrell, Maria Smith, and Hannah Borden, delightful young ladies, three members of the Southern Miss softball team. Glad to have them here in the studio. This segment is sponsored by Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net on Hardy Street. Great place to buy softball apparel and any Southern Miss apparel you like. Also want to thank Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are simply the finest luxury vehicles on the road. Coming very, very soon, the all-new Genesis showroom, Highway 98 West here in Hattiesburg. Former football star and now Meridian High School head football coach Shelton Gandy joining us on the second half of the hour. But right now we're delighted to have softball coach Natalie Poole in the studio with us. And first of all, Coach, very grateful for you and for you to come and for you to bring these three fine young ladies with you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us, and just glad to be able to get out to share a little bit about what we're doing, and also the young ladies that are out there working hard every day.
Yeah, we were talking off air, and I had some experience with summer tournament softball for a long time, and I know you're in the same position, obviously at a much higher level, but it's the relationship with these young ladies that's really the special part. Am I wrong about that?
You're not wrong at all. That's one of the reasons why I love doing what I do, because of the relationships that are built and then nurtured and then last forever, usually. And I just got an invite yesterday to a wedding and for one of my former players. And it's just nice to be able to continue to have those relationships that you've built and fostered.
There's no question about that. Okay, so your second year, talk about where you are. Talk about when you got here, what your goals and your plans were, and where you think you are now.
So whenever we got here, I think that, you know, whenever I sit down and I talk to a group of young women, like in this profession, like you have to aspire to do great things. I mean, if you're really coaching and want to compete, then you got to want the very best of what the sport has to offer. So for me, my ultimate goal in my career is to compete at the World Series. And I know that that may seem far-fetched at this point, and maybe we look at where we are and we're really far removed from that. But if we're not looking to kind of go for the ultimate ultimate goal, then what are we shooting for? And so then you kind of take that and you break that down and you think about, okay, we've not competed in the Sun Belt before. How do we get to be a part of that? And just kind of reflecting and looking back, they had not been to a postseason in probably 4 years, to a conference tournament. So ultimately, a part of the process to achieve what we want means we need to be in the postseason. We need to be competing in the conference tournament. And we did that. And so I'm really proud of that because we took a step in the right direction. Clearly, we want to take our standings where we were. We made the tournament, and now we want to improve those. So every year that I'm working, our goal is to recruit well. Our goal is to teach these and develop these young women to play the game better in a higher level and figure out what it looks like in the postseason, how to win in the postseason. So just keep taking steps the direction of where we see this team moving.
How competitive would you describe the Sun Belt?
Extremely. It's ranked number 6 in the country in terms of strength of conference. And now that the Pac-12 is sort of, you know, dissolved, then you eliminate that one and those other teams have filtered into those Power 5 and we sit the next conference right outside of the Power 5 schools.
That's
and
wonderful.
So it's very competitive from the top down and really kind of every weekend is a war.
Yeah, and it's a multi-team postseason league, correct?
It is. So we're responsible for not only competing well in the conference, but just competing well all throughout our schedule. We've got to beat teams that statistically are not as high as us, and we've got to be able to compete against teams that are better than us on paper.
Mm-hmm. Paper doesn't always mean.
It doesn't. It doesn't, but it's definitely a factor when it comes to, you know, kind of statistical comparisons. On our team sheet, are we beating people in the top 25? Are we beating people in the top 50? Are we beating people in the top 100? And then if our losses are, you know, 100 and above, like, what does that look like? You know, how far down the, you know, down those numbers are we losing to people that can't afford to have much of that, if any?
Right. Now, I know that in baseball, the coaches are very involved in making the schedule. Is that the same situation in softball?
It is. We pretty much have the freedom to build our own schedules every single year.
Okay, so what is your philosophy in that regard?
Definitely to have a pretty balanced schedule. I want to be able to compete against some teams that are from different places so that we can get kind of our school out more so than just regional. So we want to play some different opponents than what we're going to see in conference, as well as some of our midweek type of people. So we want to get to some tournaments where we'll see a variety of teams. We also want to compete against teams. Like, we want to see a few teams in the top 25. We want to play some teams in the top 50. Kind of the bread and butter might be, you know, really 50 to 100 is kind of, we want to maybe compete a little bit more against those teams. But sometimes we can't always control it, because when you land in a tournament, you know, teams, they're just trying to fill tournaments. And so we end up playing probably a good variety of teams, some that we should beat every day, and then teams that we're going to be challenged by.
All right. February 9th, it kicks off. Jacksonville, Florida, is what the young ladies told me.
Mm-hmm.
That tournament experience, I know it's a good trip for them and exciting for them. Who will you be facing, you anticipate, in the opening tournament?
Sure. We'll be facing North Florida. We'll be facing JMU, which JMU is in our conference, but we don't compete against them this year. We'll also face Jacksonville, and we'll also face Fordham twice. So for us, as you can see, that's kind of a group of schools that we wouldn't normally play.
Right.
And so that's really good. That'll get us opening up and against some good competitors.
Right. All right, let's talk about this year's team, Coach. Give us the names of some kids that, number one, you're going to expect to be the leaders on your team.
Definitely, like, you know, looking at our team, I expect our seniors to bring a certain level of experience, maturity to the game. And so clearly the young women that we're sitting in here, we expect to see some good things from.
Yeah.
You know, outside of that, you know, we expect some maturity from a few of our upperclassmen. You know, we've got Jaina Lee, who is a returner. She's a junior this year. She had a pretty decent presence on the mound, and I expect that to be better this year than what she did last year. And she's one of our best hitters at the plate. So, like, she's going to be, I'm expecting her to just continue that type of performance just because that's who she is. She's confident. Mm-hmm. She doesn't overthink things too much, and she just knows how to play the game.
You made a big pitching catch in recruiting in the offseason, did you not?
We did. You know, we had 17 players last year. I know the ladies talked about that, and we lost 6 of those. 4 of them quit softball in general. I think they just felt like it wasn't wasn't their path. We had two that transferred out. And so we were down to 11. We replaced that with 14 additions. So eight of those were junior college kids. Two of them were four-year transfers and four freshmen. So we've made significant changes amongst the whole team, but especially the pitching staff, because we only had one returning pitcher.
Right. Let's talk about transfers. Yeah. I'm fascinated to talk to all of you coaches about that. How has the, shall we say, wide open transfer rules affected ladies softball?
I definitely think that when it comes to as a coach's ability to fill a hole, that can be a good avenue. You know, if you lose a player here and there, it can be a good avenue to pick up a player possibly. But in the same breath, it gives people a really easy opportunity to bow out if things are not going well. And so whenever my parents dropped me off in college, they were like, figure it out, talk to your coach, solve the problems, because I'm not coming to get you. And, you know, and now I think if an athlete has a plan B, if they always have another option, it's easy to kind of dip your foot in, see if it feels good. And if it doesn't feel so good, some of the grittiness that it takes to fight through some of those moments of development, because development just takes time sometimes. And sometimes I feel like they're a little less apt to fight through those moments.
Does that make coaching harder?
Sure, because you have a shorter time span to develop the athlete. You know that it takes time, so you feel a little bit more rushed to get them some more immediate results. And if you know that that's not the path, and you just know that you might take a hit, that athlete might decide that this is not the place for them. And so that's where you have to be prepared to go fill a gap a little bit more than what you previously had to do.
Okay. Like or dislike the transfer rule?
Dislike currently, which means they can not only transfer one time, but now they can transfer right. multiple times. So I'm not a fan of that.
Right. All right. About a minute left, Coach. Names of some of the kids that we should all be looking to see big things out of.
Absolutely. I definitely think Neely McManus is going to be one. She'll be playing the infield for us. I think you're going to see Maddie Weeks, was a transfer from Colin. She was a World Series winner last year in JUCO. You're going to see Kinsley Gordon probably playing in the outfield. You're going to see our seniors. And then on the mound, I think you're going to be hearing a little bit about Logan Stepp and Holly Kraft and Jaina Lee. And so I think you're going to be hearing a lot of these names repeat. Hannah Borden, who was sitting here behind the plate, I think you're going to hear a good bit about her as well.
You're going to have to bring Maria Smith out of her shell. She seems really shy.
Yeah, she's a little shy. I think we've got some work to do on that. Hey, yeah, and all those young women have done a great job in this program, and I expect great things from them.
Well, we sure hope y'all have a great year. I'd like to get you back, and I know you're fixing to get busy, but I'd love to get you back in the near future and talk to me a little bit about the future plans of softball. We hear a lot about, we know Jeremy wants to move the complex onto campus, and maybe you catch a break here when the season gets underway. We can talk to you more about that.
Let's do it. Let's visit before conference starts, maybe.
There we go. Coach Natalie Poole, everybody, women's softball coach here. Wishing the ladies nothing but the best. They kick it off February the 9th in Jacksonville, Florida. Softball's here, folks. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, our thanks to softball coach Natalie Poole and her fine players, Carolyn Worrell, Maria Smith, and Hannah Borden. We appreciate those kids joining their coach here in the studio. This segment is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill. Great place to have lunch. Great place to catch the next big ball game right there in the shadow of the rock. We really appreciate the guys at 4th Street Bar and Grill. And want to say hello to Mo Babe and Yay Company, 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Visit their Facebook page or go to Mo Babe and Yay Company, CO, Hattiesburg.com. Better still, just go down there and have a plate of delicious beignets and a hot coffee. We know that you'll be glad you did. Remember, you hear the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on Apple, Audible, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can just tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. My next guest needs no introduction to Southern Miss football fans. During his great career at Southern Miss from 84 through 88, some great years, Shelton Gandy rushed for 2,504 yards, averaged 4.5 yards a carry. His entire career, scored 26 touchdowns for the Golden Eagles, and was just a great, great part of the Jeff Bauer era of Southern Miss football. And we're happy to say went on to have a great coaching career. He has now been named the new head coach at Meridian High School. But this bio here, Shelton, welcome to the show, says you've coached for over 30 years. Tell me it hadn't been. Tell me it hadn't been that long since you played football.
Yes, it
here.
Has. It has. It's been some great moments too, you know. And you know, I got to give respect to Coach Carmody Big Nasty. Now he's the one that coached me.
I got you.
You know,
I got
me
you.
Come over. Yeah, and but I actually played for Coach Bauer my last year there at Southern Miss when Curly Hallman had taken over. So it, you know, like you said, it was some great times.
All right, so who exactly did you play for? Carmody? You played for Big Nasty?
Yeah, Coach Carmody. You know, I played for Coach Carmody until my senior season, and that's when Coach Hallman came in 88. You know, we had that magical season, you know, went 10-2, mm-hmm. you know, had two losses. Our only losses were, like, to Florida State and Auburn, you know, and they were pretty good teams back then.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you corrected me on that, and I told you off air I was a big fan of the Bauer era, but I got to tell you there's never been a more iconic coach at Southern Miss than Big Nasty and
Big Nasty and the Nasty Bunch, baby. I tell you,
no question about that, Shelton. No question about that. Must have been it's been 30 years, but I got to believe you still think back on some of those times. Those were just great times, I'm sure, in your life.
Yeah, it was. You know what, and you know, just being at Southern Miss and the people I met and the teammates that I had, I mean, I wouldn't give anything for it, you know. And I know I'm just a fly on the wall and a whole perspective. All these guys, they said the same thing I say. You know, it was just magical, you know, and the things that we did and, you know, went through and persevered, it was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it built a lot of, you know, the character that I have, you know, coaching football these days.
Yeah. And, you know, Big Nasty, and we'll move on from this, but Big Nasty, this reputation of being really rough and tough, and I covered him a couple of years when I was doing sports for one of the local TV stations, and, you know, he was always professional but rough and tough. And then later in life, Shelton, the last couple of years he was alive, we had him on the show two or three times, and he was like this – real gentle grandfather. It took a minute to adjust to that, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I can remember when I came back from Texas. I had been coaching high school ball in Texas in 18, and you know, Coach Comey came down. He's the honorary coach at the spring game. He and Coach Hallman, and I got a chance to visit with him, and I'm like, man, this, you know, it was just really, he was really different. You know, he you know, when he talked to you and everything. But, you know, a loving guy, you know, I wouldn't take, you know, like I say, I wouldn't take nothing for him.
No, and let me clarify to you personally, I was just a big fan of your era as the Jeff Bauer era, and that's really where I fell in love with Southern Miss football, was watching
toughness. I got a chance to coach with Coach Bauer. You know, he hired me as an assistant.
Correct.
I came back, you know, Southern Miss and coach, man, and you talk about magical moments, you know, the championship that we won in, I think that was 2003,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, the Conference USA championship, man, I wouldn't give nothing for that either.
No.
You know, coming back to your alma mater, having opportunity to coach guys like Derek Nix, you know, it was great.
He was pretty good, wasn't he, Shelton?
Oh, yeah, ain't no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I think he's going to do a great job at Auburn.
Would you agree with me that Big Nasty and Jeff Bauer, the two most iconic football coaches that have ever been here?
Yeah, I'd have to. Totally have to agree with that. Yeah. You know, and I've heard a lot of good things about Coach Collins. I never got a chance to meet, you know, the you know, to be around him as much as, you know, but being around those two guys, I would most definitely say that.
Lord, you're right. You can't leave Bobby Collins out of that, can you?
No.
And forgive me for momentarily forgetting about that, but no.
Right.
No, you're right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Shelton, let's talk about the present. And congratulations to you, named last week as the new head coach at Meridian High School, which is a formidable high school program. Give us your thoughts about your new gig.
Yeah, Meridian has a lot of tradition, winning state championships, and the players are here. And I think Coach Boyle saw what I see right now when he came back. You know, he came up here and coached here last year, 1 year. You know, they were young, and, you know, he rallied the troops and, you know, the guys in the playoffs. But we're trying to build on what he's done and get these guys back to, you know, where they were, you know, winning state championships, because, you know, it's a lot of talent here. It's got great leadership. You know, Dr. Carter, our superintendent, and, you know, Dr. Trussell, our athletic director, you know, I couldn't be, you know, more tickled than to work with this group of, you know, and also to have this talented bunch.
Right, and you inherited, you're taking over a pretty talented team. They were, I think, one of the surprise teams in high school football this past season.
Exactly. You know, they go down and beat Ocean Springs, who, you know, just kind of ran through the south part of the state in 7A. And, you know, they go down and handle them like it wasn't any, you know, wasn't no problem. So, you know, they've got a lot of potential. And we just got to, you know, one of my things is, hey, man, I don't want to be one of those coaches that have, you know, kids and say, hey, we didn't play up to our potential, you know, right. But, you know, we've got to just kind of build on to what we had and go from there.
As a guy that's been around sports with my career for a long time now, I understand, like many people, that high school football coaches are more than just coaches. You know, they're in many cases father figures, disciplinarians, just so important in the lives of these young men. And, you know, Shelton, we talk to professional football players on this show, and they always seem to go back to recognizing their high school coach. Why is that connection so long-lasting, you think?
You know what? And that goes back, and it makes me think of my old high school coach, Larry Eastland. You know, he came in. You know, I had a pretty good year, my sophomore year, and, you know, Coach Eastland came in. And Coach Eastland and Coach Gore, those guys just kind of put that belief in me, you know, that, hey, look, you can do anything. It don't matter how big you are. You know, you just got to be the toughest guy. You got to endure. And that's, you know, those kids are at a vulnerable time in their lives. And, you know, to have somebody who can, you know, they can really lean on and trust, you know, it I wouldn't take anything for that.
No, I think it's so important. I just think the average fan out there that casually follows high school football doesn't understand that chemistry. But I think Shelton, for many of these young men, is probably one of the most, if not the most important, male-to-male relationships in their lives.
Right, exactly. That's exactly right. You know, because, you know, you lean on those guys, and, you know, they helped me make, this, you know, crucial decisions in my life that, you know, I was like, I don't know where I'm going to go, and kind of lost for words. And, you know, they'd always give you, hey, you knew that they were going to tell you the truth, you know.
Right.
And, you know, I was just, you know, you're fortunate to have really good high school coaches. And it's still going on today. You know, these kids, you know, you know, the high school coaches, you know, it's kind of like a ministry to me, you know.
Right.
You know, you're helping these kids make, you know, life-changing decisions, you know, because they, you know, right now they go home to mom and dad and, you know, and some of them, like, might not have a mom and dad. And you've got to help them get through those, you know, those struggles and the tough time. And not all of them going to play Division I football.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you got to figure out, you know, what's best for them in life and kind of point them in the right direction.
Well, I can say this. The kids in Meridian are in good hands, Coach Gandy, and we congratulate you. And I want to point this out because you're not going to do it. Shelton Gandy, two-time All-American running back in high school. And when you finish your career, and you know this, You were in the top five career rushing yards in Southern Miss history. That's that's pretty good, Shelton Gandy.
Like I said, it was a great time.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate you being on the show. Best of luck to you. We'll be following you very closely when high school football comes back around.
Okay, thank you.
Shelton Gandy, everybody, one of the great Southern Miss running backs of all time, and now the head football coach at Meridian High School. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back. This segment sponsored by DBAT. Luke Reynolds is the manager there, former Southern Miss baseball star. Great place to take your children for baseball, softball training. You know he can do it. They've got the state-of-the-art facilities there. They're on Hardy Street. Appreciate all that DBAT does for the Super Talk Eagle Hour. As you know, Kelly Sanders on injured reserve. We'll evaluate his injury later in the week. A lot of people have been asking me, Kelly, are you really sick or are you in some kind of trouble?
Well, I am. My wrist is suffering from 8-ounce wrist curls. I've strained my wrist. Put something in it that was 16 ounces instead of 8 ounces.
And at your age, it takes a while to recover from stuff like that.
It does. Arthritis kicks in. It's terrible. Yeah.
All right. Even though he's on injured reserve, Kelly is keeping up with stuff. So let's hear it, Center.
All right, let's start with the Southern Miss baseball. We alluded to it yesterday, Bob, as we talk a little bit about a lot of things. The Golden Eagle baseball team has named their captains for the upcoming 2024 campaign. Slade Wilkes, Carson Pato, and Matt Adams have been elected to be the team captains for Southern Miss this year. Those are the guys that kind of keep everybody else in line, as if anybody really needed to be kept in line. But congratulations to Slade Wilkes, Carson Pato, and Matt Adams. That's a big honor, and all players will tell you to be named captain is something special. On the intramural side, for you students that are just getting back to campus and getting into the spring swing of things, the intramural department is reminding you that the basketball sign-up deadline is coming up for the 24th of January. 24th, that's just tomorrow, in fact, will be your final day to sign up for intramural basketball, men's, women's, and co-ed teams. They'll be taking registrations for, and the season will actually begin on the 25th and last until February 19th. All right, more on the NFL news now. It looks like Jim Harbaugh, the coach at the University of Michigan, is getting closer and closer to reaching an agreement with the Los Angeles Chargers. Several outlets are reporting that it's pretty close to being a done deal. Now, will Jim Harbaugh bring his defensive coordinator, Jesse Minter, and his own son, Jay, with him from Michigan to be on that staff with the Los Angeles Chargers? Stay tuned. The Super Bowl refereeing crew has been announced by the National Football League. Veteran Bill Vinovich, who called one of the playoff games this past weekend, he will be the Super Bowl referee. Among the other officials that will be helping him include back judge Brad Freeman, who you might not necessarily know that name, but Brad Freeman is from Oxford, Mississippi. So Brad Freeman, the back judge for the Super Bowl, will give the crew a little bit of Mississippi flavor there. Congratulations to Brad Freeman. And you really have to kind of feel sorry for Tyler Bass, the place kicker for Buffalo, who is a Georgia Southern product out of the Sun Belt. Of course, missing that field goal to the right. Believe it or not, Bob Getty, he has had his life threatened repeatedly. He has had to completely go off social media. But hearing some of these stories of him being threatened, Bills and Chiefs fans have come together and started a fundraising campaign for his foundation. Tyler Bass is a cat lover, and he has a foundation to save cats. It's called the 10 Lives Club. And just since they opened it this morning, Bills and Chiefs fans have donated over $25,000 to the 10 Lives Club for Tyler Bass. And and on a news note, kind of a sad note for us older folks, longtime veteran CBS news reporter Charles Osgood, who would greet us on Sunday mornings with heartwarming stories from across the country, He passed away this morning at the age of 91. So that's a little bit about a lot of things, Bob.
Well, I guess what I would say to the fans threatening the life of that young man is you need to get a life. Nobody wanted to make the field goal any more than him. And that's, if every kicker made every kick, then football wouldn't be what it is today, Kelly. So, I mean, get a life.
And when you think about it, Bob, good, bad, or indifferent, that's something he's going to have to live with.
Yeah.
You know, which to me would be punishment enough.
Yeah.
You know?
And look, if he makes it, it doesn't guarantee that the Bills are going to win the game.
No, that's true. You know? That would have just done it to overtime, right?
Yeah, yeah. But there were still a couple minutes, I think, left in the game. So who's to say that the Kansas City wouldn't have kicked it? You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and the last three times that Buffalo's been in the playoffs, they have lost in the divisional round to either Kansas City or Cincinnati. So the Bills just can't seem to get over that hump. But, yeah, you don't kick somebody when they're down, no pun intended.
No.
But it's good to see that Chiefs fans are also contributing to the fund, and a guy that has a heart for cats. I mean, he's a sensitive guy anyway, probably.
Correct.
You know?
Now, you named those officials. Was that approved by the Kansas City coaches and players, the officials?
Well, that wouldn't have been the final decision if it wasn't. So,
what am I thinking? Yes, Patrick Mahomes had to sign off on that before they'd allowed that to happen, right, Kelly?
Well, that leaked news story supposedly has the Ravens and the 49ers playing in the Super Bowl. So,
we'll
see. I think I'm one of the few people picking the Chiefs to be, and I hope the Ravens win big. But
I'm going Ravens Lions. Does that sound crazy?
No, it doesn't sound crazy, but I wouldn't know who to cheer for.
Yeah, you'd be cheering for both of them, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
All right, we'll let everybody know when Kelly is released from injured reserve. Be nice to the nurses, Kelly.
Oh, Bob, that goes without saying.
Kelly's favorite, nurses.
The ones with the fishnets and the ones named Fifi.
Okay, that's enough.
Okay, all right.
That wraps up the Eagle Hour. Thank goodness, just in time. Until tomorrow, Kelly Sanders, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Supertalk Mississippi Media Production.